Hey, right. Before you went to the session, which went in Tuesday, you had a forum in Mount Vernon on Monday.
Actually, I was not at that forum. That was Senator Schimpf that was at that forum, actually.
I thought you were there. I'm sorry.
I have one coming up this Monday in my district in McLeansboro, actually, a town hall forum Monday. And Representative Severin and Windhorse will be with me as well.
Good. Well, since we're on that subject, the senator announced yesterday a series of mobile office hours that he's going to be in Golconda, Shawneetown, Mound City, and Herron, starting Monday, April 8th in Golconda, and that's like from 12 to 2, where you'll be at facilities there like the City Hall, and most of these are municipal service buildings, talking to your constituents.
Right. I started that about 2 months ago, actually, Tom. This my next one will be my eighth stop. I have 13 counties, so I have 13 locations that I'm going to be doing my traveling office hours. And it's going really well, and I really enjoy that because it gives my constituents an opportunity for me to go to them and to be able to sit down with them privately and talk about some of their concerns or issues. And sometimes it's great. Sometimes people just pop in to say, hello, you know, I haven't had a chance to meet you yet or whatever it may be. And it's worked out really well. And once I go through this cycle of 13, Tom, then I'll go around and I'll start again. And then I will go into a different community within that same county. So I love it. It gives me a chance to get to these communities and have an opportunity for, you know, a lot of constituents necessarily can't come to my district office in Harrisburg or have the time to come to my district office in Harrisburg or come to the state capitol. So it gives me an opportunity to come to them. So I really enjoy it.
What do people want to talk to you about? Because when you look at what I'm seeing and hearing, it's more taxes. I mean, this flurry of legislation where everything from 36 cents a square foot in a Senate bill that was introduced for 36 cents per square yard on carpeting to 19% tax on gas, then the amendment yesterday to add another 3 cents for the locals. And by the way, I just want to check with you something because, you know, I can be really cynical and jaded. When they had the 19-cent gas tax, that's a big jump. But they say, we haven't done it since 1990. Well, just because you haven't done it since 1990 doesn't mean you have to keep doing it forever. If that you do that, then eventually nobody has any money left because you've shown what you're going to do. But when they added that 3% amendment on this as a House bill, my first thought is, gee whiz, they're trying to get they're trying to co-op local support by buying them off with taxpayer money.
Right, and exactly. And you're right, Tom. Just because we haven't had a motor fuel tax increase in several years, you know, we're still, even though we haven't had, we're the seventh largest in the nation now with our motor fuel tax. So, you know, the proposals, you know, we're hearing anywhere from, as you mentioned, I'm hearing anywhere from 13 cents to 30 cents. So we haven't seen any official language on where it's going to go. But, you know, this is going, especially in my district, and that's what I've talked about, especially when I was spent some time in Chicago on my economic development committee and things about how the effect it's going to have within my district. You know, you take people drive a lot in Southern Illinois, as we all know, and you put an additional tax on a lot of our on my constituents, it's going to take some bread off the table for some people. And so it's very concerning. I know, you know, they're talking about a capital bill. There's going to have to be revenues for that. So we're just going to have to see where it goes, Tom. But we just cannot, you know, we're taxing ourselves to death. You know, some of our neighboring states, such as Indiana, Kentucky, Missouri, even Iowa, you know, they've all cut their income taxes in recent years, while Illinois seems to be headed in the opposite direction.
And I met with somebody who attended the iGold event in Springfield on Wednesday. And he was speaking with me yesterday afternoon saying, look, the FOID card, they're going to double the price. What are they going to? And then they reduce the amount of time that it's good for. So you get a double whammy on cost, like it's a sneak. Well, yeah, you pay more, but you don't get the same amount of time. You get less. You have to pay it more often. You see these other items, and people just are in this constant sense of they're stunned with the absurdity of what they are facing here and the solutions they're presented with, including borrowing more money, which the governor is we're carrying a story this morning about $449 million more for the pension. That's only one quarter roughly of what is anticipated in borrowing, to the tune of $2 billion in borrowing that's included in fiscal 20-year budget.
Right. And you mentioned iGold, Tom. I want to touch on that for just 1 second, if I may. I was so impressed. It's what I really appreciate of the people of Illinois, especially my district. So many people from my district came up to this rally, and I was able to be on the on the lawn at the state capitol and speak in front of thousands upon thousands of people that were marching in support of our Second Amendment rights. And, you know, there was just the atmosphere in the air was just incredible. So for the people to take their time of their day and to come up to Springfield and march up to the Illinois State Capitol by literally the thousands, it was very impressive. So, yes, we just have to, and I, you know, that's what's important, Tom. As I tell my constituents around my district, is it's important for everyone to be a voice in this policy and in these drastic measures that the administration is looking at.
It just doesn't seem like it ever stops when on we want more money, and I think it just doesn't ever stop, and people are just feeling like they're being beat up, and that, you know, we've got to get this done, we've got to get this done. We haven't really gotten a lot done, but there's a flurry of ideas. I mean, what happened this week in the Senate that we should know about in the last, you were in session Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Right. There wasn't anything of substance that we voted on the floor, actually, Tom. Well, a lot of committees going on right now trying to get these bills pushed through first and second readings to be able to present to the floor for third readings. You know, so that's kind of that was kind of the measures this week. I had a lot of meetings, had a lot of economic development meetings. So there really wasn't anything of great substance. But you're right. It's like, what's next? You know, they talked about the bag tax, you know, obviously the motor fuel tax and everything. So it's like, what other measures are they going to look at to tax next? So, but it was a great week, Tom. I was just notified yesterday by Senate President John Cullerton asked me to serve as a member of the Midwestern Legislative Economic Development Committee for 2019-2020. He sees what we're trying to accomplish here in my district, and I really appreciate that. It's going to be another one of those really intense committees that I've been appointed to serve on, and it's going to be, I'm really looking forward to that, and I'm going to have an opportunity to work with legislators throughout the Midwest region and talk about economic development. As you know, I've already been kind of doing that some. I visited an Asian carp processing plant in Wycliffe, Kentucky a few months ago, did a tour there, and they are actually thinking about considering coming to Southern Illinois with one of their, possibly one of their products to be able to help us with our Asian carp situation we have here in Southern Illinois. I have that meeting coming up actually next month, middle of next month. They're going to be coming to Southern Illinois with some best investors, and so, you know, a lot of good things going on in the district, as you see.
All right. Hey, it's interesting. You talked about the bag tax. It was a grocery store. I can't tell you which one it is. It rhymes with Kroger. And I said, so what are you guys going to do when the bag tax comes in? He says, the woman says, we're going back to paper bags. So that counted on revenue already. People are, you know, they're finding a way out, right, on that. I've been told that there's going to be an announcement about a manufacturing firm moving into Saline County.
Well, I'm not sure exactly. Someone had mentioned that to me. Actually, I received a phone call late last night. Said, Senator, do you know anything about a manufacturing plant that's coming to Saline County? I have been, and I'm not sure exactly. I didn't have any details. So unless there's something going on that I may not know about, you know, I'm working with several companies that are looking into coming to the area, Tom.
Okay.
And, you know, there's going to be some really great opportunity for Southern Illinois. There's a lot of companies actually have some investors from Japan that are going to be flying in the middle of next month looking at some areas within the area. If Saline County is going to be one of those, that's one obviously that I have on my target list to look at, along with some other counties throughout my district. So, you know, there's nothing confirmed that I'm aware of, so I'm not sure where that was created about a manufacturing plant, but there could be some opportunities coming up. As an example, you know, I don't know if they're talking about possibly Caro, because there's some manufacturing companies that are looking at Caro. There's some manufacturing companies that are looking at you know, we have a project that we're working on in Golconda and Pope County and some other areas. So I hope so. It'd be great.
Yeah. Now, earlier this week, I was speaking with Keith Roberts, the Illinois Department of Transportation. Transportation. He's engineer. And we were talking about Road Construction Safety Week that was coming up and a few other items, and he's going to be joining us in the studio. But this is something you've already been out highlighting on 57, and now, of course, the news that a second trooper has been killed during a roadside stop. This is one of the things that you've also been out, along with, I believe, Terry Bryant and David Severin, talking about safety on these road zones, and all the reason in the world to believe there is a problem, and we need to start focusing on what the heck we're doing when we're behind the wheel.
That's right, and I tell you, Tom, I've been in meetings with Illinois State Police. Actually, I had a lot of meetings with my staff in Springfield this week, talking about drafting some legislation pertaining to distracted driving, and we're going to be in conversation with the cell providers, to see what we can do to eliminate distracted driving, because it's an issue that Illinois State Police is concerned about. Actually, in 2016, Tom, there was 3,850 deaths reported due to distracted driving, and there was 391,000 accidents related to distracted driving in 2016. And I believe the state of Illinois is losing about around 9 to 10 lives per month due to distracted driving. So it's something that we are taking seriously. It's something I'm taking seriously. I'm actually considering drafting a resolution to start the study process of what we can do to shut down texting while driving. I want to communicate. I want to be transparent. Communicate with the providers and the carriers. To see what we can all do working together to try to alleviate this issue.
I'm wondering when you're going to see the House bill over in the Senate that yesterday they've been talking about this now, setting the minimum nurse staffing levels. And then if a hospital doesn't do that, a $25,000 a day fine. Now, the unions are for it. The administrators saying, wait a second, small hospitals, we can't afford this. People even in the hearing working for the government say they don't really know the effect it would have on the hospitals, and the hospitals going, it'll put us out of business. And you have small hospitals in your district. We understand the plight of nurses. I've got a great many that are personal friends, and they're under a lot of pressure all the time. There's no doubt about that. But when the government starts telling you this is how many people have to be at work, the only other state in the union that's done this is California.
Right, and this is something that the main thing and what I advocate for, Tom, and a lot of legislation such as this, is bring everyone to the table, together so we can all communicate and compromise and come up with a real solution toward these issues, because I do have a lot of small hospitals are going to be affected. So, we can't start mandating, we can't mandate what the criteria is for employment. It's just like saying, okay, now you have to have so many teachers within a school district. Well, as you all know, a lot of my school districts are so small, and their class sizes are oversized now because of some of the budget restraints that have been in the past. Well, you can't start requiring these mandates. So it's something that we're just going to have to be a loud voice for, and we're going to have to advocate and bring everyone together, all the stakeholders together at one time in one room and hash this out.
And Dale and I were talking earlier in the week, and our conversation got cut short because we were both tugged in different directions. And he says, don't forget, when we talk later in the week, I want to talk about parks, that we've made some improvements in our parks. Yeah. And I'm more than a little bit curious in this first full week of spring, exactly what improvements and where.
Oh, I'm really excited. I've been working really closely with IDNR on some of these park improvements that we've needed. Some of our state parks have been left behind, have been neglected as far as maintenance and upgrades have been concerned. I'll give you a prime example, Tom, is Dixon Springs State Park. They have such a beautiful park that is, and they have a swimming pool there that draws in literally thousands of people each and every year, tourists that come in and stay in our parks and so utilize the park and utilize the swimming pool. But we were going to lose our concessionaire because the swimming pool had not had any repairs done to it. In fact, the slide at the pool had been condemned. The pumps were leaking. The cover had been deteriorated, and they haven't had a cover for the pool in the last 4 or 5 years. So the family of the concessionaire, they would get in there on their hands and knees and literally take about a month to clean the pool up to where they can even start filling it back up with water and use it again. And I have all the pictures, and it was a very, very critical. So So I started working with IDNR. So now they're going to IDNR has funded the upgrade of that swimming pool for a new slide, the new pumps, the new cover, so we can get that up and rolling. And then also something exciting, Tom, is the Golconda Marina. It's been neglected throughout the last several years. The silting in the marina had risen so bad that the bigger boats couldn't even get in, so the concessionaire couldn't sell fuel, they couldn't rent the slips, and the marina had just been neglected. It had become an eyesore. So we've worked with the Department of Natural Resources, and we've purchased a new dredger that's being assembled as we speak, and it's going to be delivered to Golconda as the first measure, the first project for this dredger, and we're going to go in and completely dredge the marina out, and we're going to make some really nice upgrades to the marina. So we don't want to lose that. And then we have some really nice improvements for Fort Massac, the Rawfuse Hill State Park there at Golconda, Tom, that had been closed for many years because of lack of staff and lack of maintenance. We're going to reopen that park, and it has campsites and it has facilities. So we're going to, so once weather gets nice, they're going to go in and start cleaning that park up and reopening it. We have the Sahara Woods, the new OHV trails that are being built at Sahara Woods. Sahara Woods are cutting the trails now. That's going to be a huge boost to tourism for Southern Illinois. So we have a lot, you know, and then obviously we have the Wren Lake Resort issue that we're still dealing with getting the newest RFP out. We're waiting on procurement to approve that RFP so we can get that resort open back up. So, you know, some good things going on, and it's exciting to see some upgrades finally coming to our state parks, because as we know, Tom, for Southern Illinois, tourism is such a great thing that we have here, and there's a lot of people that come into Southern Illinois, so we want them to keep coming as well.
Before I let you go, Made in Southern Illinois this year, the first one was last year, you're working on the second annual, you got a date, you got a number of vendors, what's its status?
Oh yes, I tell you, as you know, Tom, you know, last year we had 130 vendors of Southern Illinois made manufactured products at the Pavilion in Marion. We brought in over 2,000 people through the week, the 2 days on the Saturday and Sunday. We raised just a little under $30,000 for Honor Flight, and this year it is absolutely on fire, Tom. The event is July the 27th and 28th at the Pavilion. The website is simade.org, simade.org. We were able to do some redesigning inside the Pavilion. We were able to increase the vendor booths by an additional 35, so now we have 165 vendor booths. And I was looking at the website yesterday, and we had a conference call about SIMADE yesterday, Tom, and I think we only have roughly around 38 or 39 left. The rest of them were already taken. And it was an event that a lot of companies, a lot of local companies were able to network with each other, and some companies are now selling the other companies' products. There was new contracts established. Our sponsorships, we have some incredible sponsors as we did last year, Tom. We have even more sponsors this year, and that are coming on board with us. And we're really going to really start the marketing of, letting, you know, the awareness of the initiative. And it's, you know, it's one thing I really enjoy doing is, you know, Tom, as you know, you've known me a long time. I enjoy promoting Southern Illinois and promoting Southern Illinois companies and made manufactured products is one of the most important things we can do. And, you know, all the companies that were there last year, one of the first questions they had when they started rolling out the door on Sunday last year was, when can we sign up for this year? So I think the sky is the limit on where we're going to be able to go with this. I actually had a meeting with Illinois Manufacturing Association in Springfield yesterday. They are going to really be a huge partner in this event this year, so that's going to be exciting. So it's going to, you know, we're going to really promote Southern Illinois companies and businesses and help our veterans at the same time. And I just really appreciate everyone that attended last year, and I think we'll have